Tim along with Cake today. Yeah, it's Cake on a Tuesday.
I know.
Wasn't the plan.
Not really. You called me last night and said, hey.
Yeah, our friend, our colleague, Buckeye Boy, he's okay.
He's
first
fine.
Off, he's okay, but he was in a car accident last night, and had some minor injuries, but overall, things could have been far, far worse, and so we're glad that he's going to be okay. But
he's on the DL for today.
But today, don't know about tomorrow. We'll see where things are with him. But
my schedule's open.
So good. Well, good. I'm glad it is. So we hope for a speedy recovery. Doesn't sound from talking to his fiance last night that, and I could hear him complaining in the background. So I know he's just fine for the most part, because I could hear him. Ah, he was obviously upset about his car. He loves his car.
Oh yeah.
And so when I heard him in the background, kind of
chirping a little
chirping,
bit.
Yeah, more than a little, but it's almost like he was on the phone at the same time with Karen and me talking.
Got it.
But he's okay, and that's the number one thing that we're concerned about. So don't know exactly when he'll be back. We expect him back though the next couple of days. So anyhow, Cake is in today. Appreciate you stepping in today.
Yes, thank you.
Busy Tuesday. Your chance to win a Triple Play Record Stadium Cinema, our little downtown experience with, of course, a gift card to Triple Play, where you can get all your disc golf gear and Rock and Matt know all the places to go. They're in the Grand Valley Disc Club.
Yep.
And so they have all the best places to go play along with the right gear, a lot of the records and all kinds of cool t-shirts and stuff like that, posters at Triple Play Records. And one of the things I love about Triple Play takes me back to when we had places like Mazookas and stuff like that downtown. Classic record stores.
Oh, yeah.
Which were so cool. Smokestack Records and things like that. And so Rock continues on that tradition of cool place to go get albums and CDs and your disc golf gear down on Main Street. So that, along with a small antipasto salad from folks at Junction Square Pizza at 7th and Main. So we'll have a downtown experience you can win in the 8 o'clock hour. Also, Josh Hauser, the coach of Harford Community College in Maryland, the Owls, coming back to the Junior College World Series for the first time since 2016. So we'll talk with him. He came here as a pitcher the last time.
Nice.
Harford came to town to be in the Junior College World Series. So we'll talk with him. And the chairman of the Alpine Bank Junior College World Series, Jamie Hamilton, as well. Now, normally, 9 o'clock hour, it's Mav Day. We talk to Maverick players and coaches. We'll be talking to Chris Hanks today, normally. Probably one of the Maverick baseball players.
However,
we have to do some work on our phone lines today.
Not us, personally.
Not us. Our good friends at ComWest, Nathan and the guys there. Make a little plug for them. If you ever IT issues, phone issues, want to upgrade your stuff, get a hold of folks at ComWest. They do a tremendous job. They do the work on our stuff here. Well, they have to do some work this morning from 9 to 10, which is when we do Mav Day. And since can't get coaches, they're busy, they can't make it over here to the radio station, we're going to move Mav Day to Wednesday. So it'll be tomorrow from 9 to 10. So today, though, bonus you and me. Yay for the pile today.
Here we go.
So lots to get to. The Avalanche open up the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs tonight. Predictions.
Ooh. It's tough, right? Because they've had so much time off. They've had a lot of time to prepare. And as Coach Bednar was talking about in some of the media availability from either yesterday or the day before, was like, look, we're ready. We've had a lot of time to rest. We've had a lot of time to prepare.
You seem irritated.
Just a smidge.
Like, come on!
Well, and a part of the irritation was just not knowing when they were going to play, because they had to wait until everybody else finished up, and so
had to wait for the Wild and the Blues to finish their series.
Right,
and so it, we'll see what happens starting tonight, where The Avalanche, they have the best power play in the postseason, 43.8% on the power play. They scored 7 of 16 in the first round against Nashville. Keep in mind, no, you see Soros between the pipes for Nashville on that one.
Although, Connor Engram held his own.
Yeah, he did. He did a good job.
In that game, too, that went to overtime, he held his own. He was a brick wall there.
And he played great in that game. And then the Avalanche got to him to nail down that series. So, and the Avalanche were also really good last year in the first round against the team they faced tonight, the St. Louis Blues, 6 out of 12 on the power play in last year's playoffs. So, obviously for the Avalanche, getting to Jordan Binnington, who's not been... He's been very unsteady postseason for Jordan Binnington between the pipes of the Blues. So we'll talk more about it coming up later on this morning. But you can hear the first game tonight of the second round of the playoffs. Avalanche Blues. Ryan O'Reilly coming back to town. The Factor taking on the Avs. Pregame at 7, face-off right around 7:30. Connor McGahee with the call tonight on the Team Sports Network. So you got some predictions. Do the Avs win it in 5? I think it ends up being a gentleman's sweep. I do think the Blues get a win somewhere in this series.
Right.
I can see 5. I could see maybe a 6-game series. Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm leaning 5 right now because I just think the Blues will. They will. I said this last time too, but and the Avalanche proved me wrong. So I like that. I like it when they prove me wrong.
Right.
I'm going to say gentleman's sweep, Blues to get a victory in the series, but the Avalanche move on to the Western Conference Finals with a gentleman's sweep.
And I think for the Avalanche, that would be not only ideal, but I think it would avoid any sort of anguish about having to go to, if they went to a game 7, there'd be some angst, some pressure that was not needed before. Because they're already under a tremendous amount of pressure to go all the way. And if you're going to go all the way, you're going to have to do so in convincing fashion. And you can't have these playoff series where you're heavy favorites, like they are against the Blues. You can't go to a game 7. You got to win in 5 or 6.
A lot of pressure on the Avs now. I mean, the pressure mounts after you sweep Nashville. I mean, the expectations, like we talked about, going into this season, going into this postseason.
Right.
Of the second round failures. And this team, I mean, it really is. They go and win the cup, or this season's a failure. I think even if they, once again, I've said this before, I think even if they get there and lose, it's failure. Which is unfortunate to say, because right. You're like, okay, you get to the championship. There is no shame in being the second best team in anything. Unless you're a team that has the expectations and the talent, you know, that this team has, then yes, it's even getting to that point and being the second best team in the NHL is going to be perceived as a failure.
Right.
And so tonight, the second round has been a issue for the Avalanche in recent years. So it will be, tonight begins part of that process of shaking off, exercising some demons, right?
Yep.
For the Avalanche. Dropping in a little of Bud Black there. Right? Right?
Right?
Right?
Right?
You know, we can't get a win against the Giants, right? You know, we've now lost 11 straight against the Giants, right? Oh.
Thanks, buddy.
Daniel Bard. Oh, it's been
a rough going.
It's been a rough couple of days. Rough couple days for Daniel Bard. Gives up a 2-run lead against the Royals on Sunday. Last night, Yastrzemski goes yard in the 9th inning to give them the win. Oh, just not good. Not good.
Not ideal.
Not good for the Rockies right now.
And Antonio Sensatella getting hurt, which was...
Which you're already thin when it comes to your starting pitching. So that's not great.
Nope.
So, remember that? That start? Remember that start that they got off to?
I remember.
Now it just seems a little bit like ancient history. Under 500, by the way, are the Rockies for the first time since opening day when they lost to the Dodgers and then they won the series against the Dodgers.
Hey, it only took a month.
Better than some years, put it
also
that way.
True. Also true.
Better than some years.
What frustrates me the most, right? So, you know, the Giants last year, they had that pretty hot run that was kind of unexpected.
They were sensational last year.
And, you know, this year, maybe the expectations were a little higher. Maybe they haven't quite met up to them, but they've still played well.
Right.
The Royals, they were not playing well. And the Rockies at home, which is, that's always the thing, right? It's always Coors. Rockies so much better at home than they are on the road. Home Rockies versus road Rockies, it's like night and day. So that is, that right there is a series that you should win. You should win anyway, but
The Royal Series?
Yes, the Royal
Series. Absolutely. That's a team that had, what, 12, 13 wins? Not Cincinnati Reds bad by any stretch of the imagination. Nobody's that bad except for like the expansion Mets and the Tigers from a few years ago.
Right.
The Orioles team that lost like their first 20. No, the Royals aren't that bad, but that's a team you have to win a series against them at Coors Field.
Yes.
Particularly coming off getting of a bad road trip to Arizona and San Francisco.
Right. And I can forgive this loss to the Giants based solely on, you know, your starting pitcher goes down with a back injury. That's, you know, that's bad.
Left after the second inning.
Left after the second inning. That's not good. I could easily forgive this loss were it not for the fact that preceding yesterday, the team, the Rockies had every chance to beat a, let's face it, not as good Royals team, especially at home, and they didn't. And so now you're starting to see the snowball. Now you're starting to see the Rockies that we are all too familiar with, which is they ain't good.
And you also have another night where Ryan McMahon, key error.
Yep.
Leads to score, you know, an opportunity offensively for the Giants. And we'll talk more about it coming up. But, not great. They've now lost 11 straight to the Giants. Giants and Rockies again tonight at Coors Field. All right. But we'll have tonight on the team, we'll have the Avalanche and St. Louis Blues pregame at 7 tonight on the team. All right. So your predictions on the Avalanche. Got some thoughts about the Rockies. Have they become who we expected them to be?
It's exactly like Coach Green. They are who we thought they were.
Yeah.
We let them off the hook.
Well, they did that with the Royals on Sunday. They did that with the Giants last night.
The Rockies are who we thought they were.
Hot garbage. No, I didn't want to think they're hot garbage. But
well, they're really not because,
I mean,
they had a 7-run inning in the seventh against the Giants to get the lead, and they the Royals.
Royals, yeah, came back against the Royals.
And they blew it.
2-run lead in the ninth, and Daniel Bard can't hold it. And yeah, it's frustrating, but it's expected, right? There was almost this, yeah, that's...
That tracks.
And I get it. It's 162. It's a long season. Teams are going to have ups. They're going to have downs. I get that. I understand that.
We haven't hit the June swoon yet.
Yeah, but when the Giants own you, when they are your big brother and they come to your ballpark and they beat you now for... I get it. It was a 1-run victory last night, but they've now won 11 straight. They have given you another atomic wedgie, okay, and shoved you in your locker again in your ballpark.
Of all places.
Of all places. So, got some thoughts on it today. Text or call us, Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340. It's time for...
What's happening?
All right, start things out with, it's now 11 straight losses for the Rockies to San Francisco as the Giants beat Colorado 7-6 last night at Coors Field. Once again, Rockies closer Daniel Bard couldn't hold down the fort, giving up a solo home run to the Giants' Mike Yastrzemski in the ninth. Bard failed to protect a two-run ninth inning lead in Colorado's loss to Kansas City Sunday. Rockies third baseman Ryan McMahon hit a home run but also committed his eighth error of the season. Colorado starter Antonio Sensatella left the game in the second inning with a lower back strain. And manager Bud Black says Sensatella is heading to the 10-day injury list. Colorado drops to 16-17, and they're under 500 for the first time since opening day. The two teams face off again tonight at Coors Field. Mentioned the Avalanche begin their second-round playoff series at home tonight at Ball Arena against the St. Louis Blues. Pre-game at 7, face-off around 7:30 with Connor McGahee on the team sports network. Fruit of Monuments hired former Southwestern Oregon Community College women's basketball coach Jeff Johnson as the Wildcats' new girls basketball coach. Johnson was a coach at Southwestern from 2015 to 2020 and assistant coach for Southwestern's men's team prior to being the women's head coach. Johnson is currently an academic advisor and physical education teacher at Grand Valley High School. Fruit of Monument boys basketball coach Jacob Kara was also a coach at Grand Valley and DeBeck before coming to Fruita. Johnson replaces longtime girls coach Michael Wells. Colorado Mesa golfers Peter Grossenbacher and Timmy Carvarno are tied for 45th at the D2 National Championship at TPC Michigan in Dearborn. Both Maverick golfers shot 400 par 76s on Monday as CMU sits in 18th place heading into the second day. Top-ranked 4A Palisade into the regular season with a 15-4 run rule one of Vermontrose on Monday. Bulldogs pitcher Ryder Mancuso gave up four runs on four hits with three strikeouts and 3 1/3 to get the win. Palisade's Aiden Bevin went 4-for-4 and drove in four runs as the Western Slope League champions moved to 21-2 to end the regular season. The Bulldogs are the number one team in the Chassanel.com rankings and in the 4A RPI and should host in regional play this weekend. Southwestern League champion Fruit of Monument swept their two-game set with Grand Junction, winning 6-2 Monday at Canyonview. The Wildcats rallied from a two-run deficit with Peyton Nessler's RBI double and Jack Deere's inside the park home run leading the Fruit offense. Wildcats head coach Casey Sutherland says the Tigers made them work for their final win of the regular season.
Did a good job. They fight and they grind. They did put a good fight. And then that, I think it was the fourth inning, we were able to kind of benefit from a call and an error on their part. They gave us a few extra runs.
The Wildcats have now won 10 straight heading into the 5A postseason. Brackets for all classifications come out tomorrow with regional play this Saturday. As far as the Alpine Bank Junior College World Series, defending champion McLennan, Texas, they are still in the hunt to come back to Grand Junction. McLennan, they picked up the 13-12 win over Midland yesterday. They force a final game today in the Southwest District. So McLennan, Texas, Mitch Thompson and his team, and still in the hunt to come back to Grand Junction. They'll play that game at 1 o'clock today. As far as tomorrow, the Midwest begins with number 2 Wabash and number 9 Iowa Western. The second game tomorrow, South Suburban plays John A. Logan in the opener of that double elimination tournament at Mount Carmel, Illinois. That's Wabash Valley. That's their home field. Championship game is on Friday. Also, you have the Plains, the Jayhawk Conference, getting their tournament started tomorrow. All right, 7:18, and that's a quick look at
what's happening.
All right, Jim, along with Cake today from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Predictions on the Avalanche Blues series. Thoughts about the Rockies now dropping 11 straight. Rockies, Broncos, Giants, Chiefs. Two in-division teams that have had your number and have been, like I said, giving both of those teams the proverbial atomic wedgie.
But whereas one, I have hope for this year that they can beat said rival at least once.
Right.
The other?
You don't think the Rockies will get a win against the Giants at some point here? I mean, come on. It can't last forever. I agree with you. The more likelihood, I mean, the Rockies face the Giants more,
so there's
the better chance of them getting a win against the Giants.
Right. The law of probability tells you the Rockies will probably at some point
they'll beat them at some point.
So let's substitute just game. Let's not even
sure.
Let's say series. If we're talking in the grand scheme of baseball, yeah, a win in a game is nice, but really you want to win a 3 or 4 game series. In my mind's eye, more likely this year, and if we were Dan Patrick, this would be a great poll question. In my view, Broncos, Chiefs, I have more confidence in Broncos getting a win over Kansas City at some point this year than I do the Rockies getting a series win over the Giants. more at the way things are going.
More likely, Broncos sweeping the Chiefs in the AFC West, winning two, or the Rockies winning a series against San Francisco. Well, Coors Field or Oracle, wherever, doesn't matter.
Again, just on sheer probability alone, because you're going to see the Giants more than the Broncos will see the Chiefs
this opportunities,
year.
Yep.
More opportunities will tell you that it's probably Rockies to win a series against the Giants, but it's not at this rate. Definitely not now. I mean, not with the injury to Senzatella.
Definitely not at Oracle. I mean,
oh God, no. Not, I mean, yeah.
I mean, Coors Field, yeah, sure. There's a chance, but it is interesting. You have these two teams, the Broncos and the Rockies, that have these two in division rivals that just have their number, just own them.
Yeah,
pull in to their place, park in their spot whenever they want to.
Oh yeah.
Said, go to the team spread and just eat whatever they want. And however much they want.
Yep. Craft services.
Exactly.
Doesn't matter.
They dominate them. They want to eat all the peanut butter pretzels.
They're texting.
They're going to eat all of them if they want to.
They're texting their girlfriend saying, hey, you up?
Yeah. It's not good.
Like, dude, that's my girlfriend. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, just the odds, you know, the odds are the Rockies would win a series against the Giants, probably more likely than the Broncos sweeping.
But that's just based on sheer numbers. That's not a number of games and opportunities played. That's not based on any sense semblance of on-field talent. You know what I mean? Like,
what's been more embarrassing?
Well, I would say probably Rockies. Just because for the Broncos, it's been 6 years of quarterback carousel, head coach carousel, a lack of stability, whereas Kansas City has been nothing if not stable, right? They've had the same head coach. They've had the same offensive coordinator. They've had the same general manager. They've had the same structure in place. They've had the same quarterback over that six-year span, and they've gotten to two Super Bowls as a result. So maybe the expectations were a little bit lower. I think this year the expectations are obviously much higher for Denver with Russell Wilson and Nathaniel Hackett. As for the Rockies, right, the Giants and the Rockies were kind of for a little bit on an even plane in the NL West for a brief moment. Bud Black has tried to be a model of consistency and a 48% win percentage in his tenure with the Rockies and Padres is a little inconsistent, sure, but you know, again, it's probably best that I think if you're talking about which series loss, Chiefs, Broncos, Rockies, Giants is more embarrassing for that respective team, I'd say the Giants, because again, at some point they were on equal footing, and now they're not. And
Broncos have also lost more,
right?
13 straight to KC, just 11 for the Giants. It's been a mixed bag for the Broncos and the Chiefs, right? I mean, in terms of they lost the close game on January 8th, 28-24,
right?
But on December 5th, they got blown out 22-9. Lost a close one, 22-16 in 2020. They got drilled 43-16, and then lost before that 23-3. Lost 30-6, 30-23, 27-23, 27-24, 29-19, 33-10. So there's been, and there's also an overtime game in there as well. They lost 30-27, which. So it's been a mixed bag, right? It's been some close games. It's been games where they've just been flat out
smashed,
woodshedded.
Yeah.
Boat raced, stomped. And the Rockies have that in their 11-game losing streak as well. All right, we'll talk more about the Rockies, Giants from last night. Not good news about Antonio Sensatella, by the way. No. A starting rotation that just not a lot of depth right now, so we'll talk about that. So text or call us today. Got some thoughts about the Rockies' 11-game losing streak. I think if it's as far as a sports fan, as much as I don't like the Giants, I respect Andy Reid. I like Mahomes, but I hate the Chiefs. As a Broncos fan, it's tougher. It's tougher for me to deal with a 13-game losing streak to KC,
right,
than it is to San Francisco. Doesn't mean that I'm okay with it. And it's all right. It's not a big deal.
Oh, it's all hunky dory.
No, it's not hunky dory.
It's not.
But we're still Broncos country more than Rockies country. I mean, we are, but the Broncos still they drive the bus in this state.
Yeah.
And it's harder to deal with that, the Broncos losing 13 straight to the Chiefs, than it is the losing streak to the Giants. Not easy, not doesn't go down well, but still probably not as bad as where the Broncos are. All right, so we'll take a break. We'll come back. Text or call us. Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line. Jim along with the cake today. He's in for a Buckeye boy. Mentioned earlier, he was in a car accident last night. He's doing okay, so that's the good news.
He's more angry than injured from what it
sounds
like.
Yeah, he sounded very upset when I was talking with his fiance. I could hear him in the background. It's like a lot of stuff I could not understand what he was saying. But he was. I was encouraged to hear him saying something, and he sounded like he was going to be okay. So, cake's in today. I appreciate you coming in today.
Yep.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
It's a good show.
By the best show around.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the Team.
Can you hear? Are we clear?
Welcome back. 7:30, Jim along with cake in for the Buckeye boy today. From the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Most trusted name in automobiles. Predictions on the Rockies, or on the Avalanche and St. Louis Blues. I got one from Scott this morning. Good morning, fellas. This reminds me of a lot of how the Braves used to treat the Rockies in the early 90s. Rockies dropping their 11 straight to the Giants last night. It is like that, Scott.
Just a smidge.
He has the Avs in five. So there's a Avs prediction for you tonight. Don't forget Avalanche and the St. Louis Blues pregame at 7 tonight on the Team Sports Network. So the Rockies, let's talk about what happened last night. Rockies fall to the Giants 7-6 at Coors Field. It's now 11 straight losses for the Rockies to the Giants. And for the Rockies, just continues to be so frustrating, because last night you and Daniel Bard, this is not good. All of a sudden Daniel Bard not being able to close out games, gave up the 2-run lead, as mentioned, to the Royals on Sunday. Last night Yastrzemski gets the game winner with a solo home run, and so the Rockies fall last night, and you look at, you know, they had 11 hits last night. They got multi-hit games from Jonathan Daza, who extends his hitting streak now to 14 games, a former G.J. Rocky. C.J. Crone had a two-hit night, a couple of ribbies last night. Two-hit night for Ryan McMahon, likewise for Randall Grichuk. But Ryan McMahon, I just got the yips. I don't know what's going on with Ryan McMahon, because Ryan McMahon committing another error last night.
Do we remember when Ryan McMahon was the heir apparent to, at least from a defensive standpoint, to Nolan Arenado?
Mm-hmm.
When he goes, oh, he's got, you know, potential gold glove talent, and he's got the makings of a great defensive infielder. Remember those days?
Well, remember he was a first-time finalist for the gold glove last season.
Yeah.
He had 7 errors all last season. He's got 8.
In just the first month.
McMahon admitting to the Denver Post, it's getting to me a little bit. I screwed us tonight. They scored 2 runs that they shouldn't have, and we should have won this game. It's just as plain as simple as that. It's got to stop. anyone to say, I don't necessarily know exactly what I have to do, but I guarantee it won't be from a lack of work. Like, I feel bad for him.
I do too.
Because I think Ryan McMahon's a guy that works hard at his craft. Like I said, he was a first-time Gold Glove finalist last year. Does he feel the pressure of being the guy that replaces Nolan Arenado at third? Yeah, probably some of that. But right now, sometimes you just can't get out of your own head, right? You can't get out of your own way.
Right.
And Ryan McMahon is kind of in that situation right now. And Bud Black talked about McMahon's there with the bases loaded. You know, some of the plays are do or die plays like tonight. I can't speak for Mac, but maybe you try to be a bit too quick concerning the situation, trying to get the guy at home, trying to be a little bit too quick, and he bobbled the ball. But it ended up being a costly error for the Rockies last night.
Right.
And so for the Rockies, they continue. Well, they'll try to snap the 11-game losing streak to the Giants tonight. Alex Cobb, the righty, 2-1 record, 3.98 ERA, goes to the Giants. Chad Kuhl, who suffered his first loss of the season in his last outing, now 3-1, 2.88 ERA. That'll be your pitching matchup tonight. And then tomorrow on the team, we'll wrap it up with Day Baseball. Logan Webb against Kyle Freeland at 12:30 tomorrow for Rockies on deck for that one. As the Rockies try to maybe get a win tonight, maybe snap the streak.
And I think tonight presents your best chance at getting the win because Kuhl's got your best ERA so far, your best record. He's showed a pretty good outing so far in this early stretch of the season. But you got to keep him out there. And the Rockies have got to give him run support. If Chad Kuhl goes, let's say, 6 1/3, 6 2/3 maybe, with 4 or 5 strikeouts and like 2 walks at most, I think they've got a chance. Because you got to get quality innings out of your starters, because the starters that you have, at least, you got to get a lot of quality innings out of them because they're slim pickings.
Well, and for the Rockies, for Chad Kuhl, who has probably been their best starter as of late.
I'd agree.
The Giants got to him last time out. They scored 5 earned runs on him in a 7-1 win at Oracle. He walked 3, gave up a home run. He did strike out 8. He tied a career high in that category. Career-wise, it's not been great against the Giants. 0-1 with a 4.91 ERA. And Cobb was really good last time out. 5 1/3, gave up just 1 run on 3 hits. He struck out 6 and walked 2. So he pitched well against the Rockies the last time out. Some other things in regard to the Rockies, their expected option, former G.J. Rocky backup catcher Dom Nunez to Albuquerque and call-up catcher Brian Servin. Servin's not on the 40-man roster, but they have a spot open, so looks like they'll make that move with Dom Nunez struggling.
A Rockies catcher struggling.
What a shock. The 11 consecutive loss to the Giants. It's their longest losing streak to a single team since, can you name the team?
Is it the Los Angeles Dodgers?
That would be correct. Can you tell me how long the losing streak was?
I want to say it was like in the neighborhood of somewhere between like 15 and 18 games, wasn't it?
A little too high.
A little too high?
15 is a little too high.
13?
It's a touch too high.
12.
It's surrounded. 12. Yeah, 12. And the Giants winning streak, by the way, their longest against anybody since an 11-game run against Houston. You have to go all the way back to right before and right after I was born.
Oh, my God.
September 22nd, 1964 to May 22nd, 1965. During that period of time, Ted and Aline Davis had their little bouncing baby boy, youngest of the 3 Davis boys, before that streak ended.
That's funny.
Yeah. So you have to go back
long
to the 60s, the mid-60s, since the Giants have had this kind of success against anybody.
Peace and love. Peace and love.
All right. 7:38. Jim, along with Tyler today in for the Buckeye Boy. Okay, we do have some Bud Black sound. Mentioned that Antonio Sensatel left in the second inning with the back injury, expected to go on the 10-day injury list. Here's Bud Black on Sens's injury.
He suffered a back strain, simply put, his back tightened up. When he sort of felt it initially on the comebacker from Peterson, got through the first and second, started tightening up a little bit. There was a ground ball the first, he broke, felt it again. And then when he went into the dugout, he could feel it tighten up. He went out to try to warm up, and it was too tight.
All right, so he is headed to the 10-day injury list. Hopefully it's nothing very serious. All right, we will take a break. But first, before we do that, it's time for soundcheck.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
All right, we go to the world of college baseball. Number 6, Miami, down 2 runs to number 21, Florida State. Top of the 8th inning, and we go to the ESPN2 broadcast, making their play-by-play debut, the press box fire alarm.
After that slider down and in. That bounces out in front of the plate. Now 2-2 on Levinson.
Dunn steps off the back of the mound. Gathers himself. That slider was just a little bit too low. He buried it at about 57 feet.
That went on for 10 minutes.
Ooh. Ooh.
Now,
tough to tune that out. Been there before when it's gone off at over at Saplesio, and that's tough to ignore that.
And someone on Twitter who was there was like, yeah, well, the air conditioning hasn't been working in that press box for quite a while, so it made sense that the fire alarm fire. Would go off. So there you go. I felt so bad, and it's like drowning them out. Like you get it's that's all that's getting picked up.
Yeah. Well, yesterday we had Steve Wojtek on, Grand Junction's new athletic director, and they were doing the announcements. We're talking to Steve about being hired as the new AD at Junction, and
right.
In the background, you heard, students, if you've not picked up your yearbook yet, please come to the main office to pick up your yearbook if you've not cleaned out your lockers.
And we're trying. Oh, that's funny. That is too funny. And that's.
Please also make sure you clean out your physical education lockers. We do not want to come back in the fall and have shirts that are standing up by themselves. Thank you. Anyway. Yeah, that would be it. So we had to deal with a little similar thing to that yesterday.
Right.
It's like,
not as annoying as a fire alarm, but.
Okay. All right. And fortunately, it wasn't very long.
Not 10 minutes
attention
long.
Attention, Tiger students. Congratulations to Steve once again, by the way, on the new gig.
Well earned.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back. 7:41. Oh, before we take a break, you meant this from college baseball, the clip you just played. Did you see the guy and his girlfriend at the, I don't know which game it was the other day, which college game, ball hit into the stands?
Uh-oh.
And there's nobody around them.
Right.
It's just him and the guy and his girlfriend. And he shoves himself away.
Oh, no.
From her, doesn't push her, but like gets the bleachers and like shoves himself, slides himself away, and the ball nearly hits her.
Oh my God.
How gallant. What a gentleman.
What a swell guy.
Save yourself. And then she's looking at him and she's like kind of smiling, kind of like trying to, okay, it's all right. It's okay. I didn't get hit. It's okay. But you could tell there's a, wow.
Like, really?
I guess this is a little demonstration of what would happen if, you know, something more serious where you needed to be involved in helping protect me, right? You obviously would not do that. Guess I'm just better off left to my own survival instincts here, buddy. Guess I don't need you to do that. Because obviously you're not going to.
I'm looking for the video now. It's the still...
I mean, and he slides like a good 8 feet away from her. Like
the still image is so perfect because he's clearly cowering.
He's like, and she's got, she's covering up because she thinks she's going to get hit. which is understandable.
Right.
She's got hands over her head. Smart move. You don't know where the ball is. Done that before myself. You don't know where the ball is. I'm hands up over the face, some of the head. He lives in Kansas. I love the headline. Men in Kansas are scared of foul ball. It was the Kansas game. Yeah. So.
Oh, that is
so. I guess it did hit her, didn't it?
It had to have.
Yeah. It was her game with TCU.
If and when I find the actual video,
because I don't remember. I saw the video, but I didn't remember if it hit her or not, or came close to hitting her.
And there's no one there.
How brave are you, buddy?
And
it wasn't like, you know, he said, well, I was holding my beer, and you know, beer here is like $9, and he didn't even have that lame excuse to. They didn't want to spill his $9 beer, which would have been a terrible excuse anyway.
That's your fault. But would have
been better than just, just sliding himself down the bleachers.
Yeah, save yourself.
Good thing she's a resourceful individual that can protect herself.
Yeah, there was a long, awkward conversation on the car ride home, no doubt.
Well, I mean, if you see it after the video, he's like trying to explain to her, like, well, sorry, honey, you know, I just...
You've dug the hole. Stop digging.
There was no way he was going to save himself. There's no way.
Stop digging. You are already.
Women are resourceful. They can take care of themselves. But on occasion, particularly if you're in a relationship.
It's a bad look.
You want to show that as a man, you are capable of doing something that a gentleman would do that's gallant, right?
Right.
That even the most independent woman will say, I don't want my boyfriend or husband to be a total weenie and
right.
not stand in front of a foul ball for me, okay?
At least try to reach out for it or something.
Something to keep her from getting hit. Not this guy. That guy was good. He was not going to mess with it. Honey, you are on your own.
Done.
All right, 7:45. We will take a break. We will come back. And talk about a couple of the high school games, baseball games from yesterday. Yesterday was the final day of the regular season. Actually, today technically is the final day, but games were played and wrapped up yesterday. We'll talk about that next. Text or call us your prediction on the Avalanche and the Blues. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line 970-242-1340.
Good morning, gentlemen. What are the haps?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, 7:49. Jim along with Tyler in for the Buckeye boy today, who's recovering from the car accident he was in yesterday.
He's okay.
I was talking with Chris Britt over on Magic, and I guess on Instagram, Buckeye posted a picture of his hand. He got some glass and had to have some glass removed from his hand. Like I said, it's always a good sign when you hear when his fiance Karen called me last night, when you hear him complaining in the background, it's like, okay, he's gonna be okay.
When it's more seemingly more frustration than
that he's gonna be okay. So that's the good news. Let's see, a couple texts here. One from Troy this morning. Broncos versus the Chiefs is more frustrating for me. They've had decent talent to win over the last 5 years, but they keep getting outcoached. Let's hope that changes, Troy, with Nathaniel Hackett now as a head coach.
That's the trick.
Also, you can check out, Troy does some really cool podcast videos. It used to be a vlog, right?
Yes.
A vlog. Time Flies, it's on YouTube. He did one with me a while back, talking about JUCO and just kind of my what I've done broadcasting wise here in the Valley. So talk with Jamie Hamilton about JUCO, and you can find that, leaves Time Flies on YouTube. He has a YouTube channel for that. So
very
might
cool.
Want to check that out. Robert, can I make a couple of suggestions with regard to the Rockies? Yes, Robert, but like I've said before, they can't involve haircuts or shaves, or they've got to spend more money.
Because that's really not the issue. They can spend out the wazoo.
I think we looked, they're like 17th in payroll, something like that, in Major League Baseball.
So that's, you know, mid
30s, you know, the number of teams in the league. Yeah, they're okay. I mean, they spend money. They don't always spend it well.
No.
They don't invest wisely.
I mean, you're starting to see now the I guess you'd call it lack of dividends on the Chris Bryant deal.
Yep, the back continues to be an issue. And look, hurts not having him out there.
Injuries are injuries, and sometimes you can't always prepare for how long a guy's going to be there if he's going to be hurt. But if you're paying him $280 million or whatever it was that the Rockies ended up signing,
$182.
Yeah, so I was off by a little bit.
That's okay. You're close.
You know, but still, we're talking nine figures.
Yeah.
And there is, to me at least, a reasonable expectation that you have him for a bulk of your season. And even before he was really sat down for the injury, he wasn't really giving you $182 million worth of numbers.
Yeah. Not power numbers anyway. Average wasn't bad, but the power numbers weren't there. So we've got some thoughts. Also, Avalanche Blues tonight. The Avalanche sweep. Did the Avalanche get a gentleman's sweep? Does it go six? Does it go seven? Your predictions on that. All right, so you can text or call us. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line 970-242-1340. Yesterday you had Palisade, your number one team in 4A baseball, not just in the Chassanow.com rankings, but also in the RPI as well. Finishing off the season with taking two from Montrose this season, winning 15-4 yesterday by the run rule. Bulldogs pitcher Ryder Mancuso gave up four runs on four hits with three strikeouts and three and a third to get the win. Aiden Bevin went 4-for-4. He drove in four runs as the Western Slope League champions moved to 21-2 to end the regular season. Fruitland Monument, they complete their two-game sweep of Grand Junction. The Southwestern League champion Wildcats winning 6-2 on Monday. Wildcats rallied from a two-run deficit with Peyton Nestler's RBI double and Jack Deere's inside the park home run, leading the Wildcats offense. After the game, the Buckeye boy, before his car accident, had the chance to talk with Wildcats coach Casey Sullivan.
Gilder along with you here. We are joined now by the victorious head coach of the Wildcats, Casey Sullivan, after a 6-3 win. And we were talking off the air that, you know, Will Dixon has a bunch of grinders over there. And for about three and a half, four innings, you guys were kind of in a battle with a team that's just kind of pesky at the plate, pesky in the field. But you ultimately score four runs in that fifth inning and come away with the win.
Coach Dixon's done a good job with his boys, and they are pesky, to say the least. They've did a good job. They fight and they grind, they did put a good fight. And then that, I think it was the fourth inning, we were able to kind of benefit from a call and an error on their part. They gave us a few extra runs, and so that was it was needed. And then it kind of gave us some momentum and a little breathing room, and then it felt like we kind of relaxed a little bit and started playing a little better baseball.
Speaking of grinding, Andrew Lee kind of grinded for you guys. Is, you know, he had six walks, but he was able to get out of four innings worth of play with only one run allowed, but stranding eight runners on base through four innings. It wasn't pretty, but it got the job done. And how do you guys feel your pitching staff lines up as the 5A postseason gets started this weekend?
Yeah, I think we're good. Andrew did a good job battling there.
There's Casey Sullivan, Fruitland Monument baseball coach, hour two coming up.